Nicole, good morning.
Hi there. How are you, Tess?
Very well, thank you. And you?
I'm well.
So to start us off, what is the actual history of the Meter Maids?
Well, the Meter Maid was a role that was introduced in 1964 in the region of Surfers Paradise, and it was an initiative that was about promoting addressing the backlash from the local businesses that happened when parking meters were installed.
So in terms of the purpose that Meter Maids serve today, are they merely a tourist attraction or are they something more?
Well, I guess if we kind of zoom forward to today, a few things have happened since 1964 that have kind of set them on a particular trajectory of really reinventing themselves in sometimes positive ways and sometimes not so positive ways. So, they helped promote the region in the 60s, but they became more of a kind of a provocative, I guess, icon for Surfers Paradise in the 1980s. Been a site of tension or an event of tension since that time. So at the moment they are charged with new responsibilities that I think are really firmly set in a sexualized world, so that they are women that work to kind of sell sexualized merchandise, and they kind of wear a particular outfit that's highly sexualized. And I think that's kind of changed from what their original intention was, and that's something we need to think a bit more carefully about.
So how harmful, you were talking about all the negative issues that they may be facing there, how harmful do you believe these could be?
Well, I guess it's important to kind of understand the kind of context of the research that I do. So I'm really working to understand sexualisation in cities in quite a broad way, so advertising and the media of sexualisation in cities. And I guess they're one part of that sexualisation, so the Meter Maids as a promotional model, which we see more and more in cities. And I think that it's not so much about direct harm, but I think it's about thinking about the nuances around what it means to have sexualized women in cities, where there's a kind of what I describe as a titillation or a kind of guaranteed sexual contact that you can have if you want to kind of engage with her. And also I think we need to consider what it means for other women and men to walk into the kind of stage that happens around promotional models. So I think that it's really about kind of starting to think less about this being a playful interaction that we don't really need to worry too much about, and more about thinking about what kind of sexism and really what kind of regulation this has around sex. So it's a really heteronormative thing. We can see that in the women that have roles as promotional models. It's a very narrow representation of what feminine might be.
So do you think that this is really, at the heart of it, just a simple case of sex sells?
Look, I think that I was actually reading a really interesting article that was also on The Conversation a couple of weeks ago by some Melbourne researchers at RMIT, Brennan and Jebson and Donna, and they kind of actually said that it's not that sex sells, it's actually that sexism sells. And I think that's really, really interesting. So it's not that I'm kind of espousing or wanting to see no sexuality in cities. I think it's actually that there's a real lack of diversity of sexual representations. And what this particular article was describing was the fact that it's actually sexism that sells, and it's the provocation that the media play to. And I think that the Meter Maids have been kind of making a very perhaps ambiguous relationship between the sex industry and what they do, and that kind of provocation or that tension is actually what is being sold and what's kind of creating the interest.
And just before we do let you go, Nicole, what do you believe the consequences of having these really hypersexual cities and promotional models will have on society in the future?
Well, I guess that what I'm thinking about in the research that I'm doing around kind of consequences is that really hypersexualization is working in subtle ways, but it's certainly starting to inform our social relationships, the way that we perceive ourselves, the perceptions that we have on others. And I think that it's not just about singular events. It's about the accumulation of contact with sexualized media, sexualized events, sexualized promotional models as well, and that these really normalize a kind of heteronormative space of the cities, when all of us that are thinking people really want to see more sexual diversity and embracing sexual diversity in our cities. So the consequence would be is that we kind of resist that opportunity to think more broadly around what representations of sex might be in urban space.
Well, Nicole, it was brilliant to have you on the show this morning. Thanks so
much
for joining us on The Daily.
Great. Thanks, Tess.